You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Hour number two, Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Alongside the Fantasy Executive Corey Parson.
That's me.
And Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. Thank you for joining us. If you're watching us live on TV, as we're here with you today, of course, as we always are, inside Studio 34. A couple of news and notes from this weekend. A lot of stuff I want to get to football-wise. And the first is in New England. Chris Hogan expected to return this weekend for New England against Tennessee.
Yeah, Chris Hogan. Obviously, when he was out there getting it done, he was performing as a wide receiver one. So, good piece to have back in the offense. Helps to help that thing click as they get ready to more than likely drag the Tennessee Titans. Once again, the New England media lets them off the hook. Bill Belichick comes to the press conference, says, "I'm focusing on Tennessee, not anything outside of Tennessee," and they proceed not to ask any questions. So, bad job by them.
Yeah, but I get it, but that's the beauty of Bill Belichick. He just squashes all that stuff, focus on the game. You know, you want to do the palace intrigue with the Patriots, you can do it. This team, I think, is focused. Not that they needed any ammunition, but if anything, you hear the stories of how Brady's falling off the cliff and it could happen at any time. These are winners. Look, I'm a Bills fan. I know every season I don't have no shot at the AFC East. Or usually the playoffs, but that changed this year. But if this team needed any little kick, they just got it.
Interestingly enough, and I wanted to get into this as we talk about the Patriots a bit, the New York Times reported that there's a new Tom Brady doc coming out. Tom versus Time. And Brady gave unfiltered and unilateral access to a filmmaker inside his routine with his family, at his house with Giselle and his kids and his training, none of which was really filmed at Gillette. No Belichick in it. Josh McDaniels makes an appearance via FaceTime. But I thought it was really interesting that for a team and a guy that is so private to open up.
I wonder who the executive producer is.
I have the answer to that question.
Please tell me it's Alex Guerrero.
It's not Alex Guerrero.
And Alex Guerrero is behind this somewhere.
I don't disagree with you. It is. The filmmaker is Gotham Chopra.
Okay, don't know nothing about that.
It'd be great Chopra. If you saw, like, Alex Guerrero in the background, like, all the shots and stuff.
Is he walking around?
Sitting down in the kitchen
or
something.
Yeah, popping up an avocado.
In the doc, there is no discussion of the friction surrounding Guerrero, though he appears several times in the film, mostly as we watch him put Brady through the so-called pliability treatments that the two men developed as the cornerstone of their sports and training lifestyle.
Will we get to see him in these magical pajamas? That's my
question. They're going to be injecting him with avocado. He get an avocado and it's right to his bloodstream. He don't have to eat it.
Like when you watch Rocky and he had the eggs, he put avocados in the blood.
There is a scene where Brady's getting one of those deep massages by Guerrero that we heard about. And his older son, that when Bridget Moynihan walks in the room, Jack, and he's telling about like a fantasy game.
Yeah.
And Brady goes, "Oh, who's your quarterback?" Son goes, "Cam Newton."
Son goes, "Jimmy Garoppolo."
We'll be back in the Roto Experts right after this.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
News and notes around the NFL, including for this weekend, Jay Ajayi practices in full for Philadelphia. Are too many people counting out Philadelphia, Corey?
No.
See, I was watching NFL Network. I forget what player said it. And This team is really pissed off. He basically said when they were 12-2, they would be
Lane Johnson.
It was Lane Johnson. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And when they were 12-2, they were being talked about like they were the Browns. So I like that them against the world kind of mentality.
Nobody believes in us.
They are still home.
Yep.
Look, Nick Foles doesn't have to be tremendous this game. He's got to be
good enough,
adequate, efficient. And look, Jay Ajayi is in a nice. This is what they got the guy for. He's got an opportunity here. You know, and as I say, through the passing game, it really runs through the tight end. And you have Ertz, you got Burton. And if you want to put Alshon Jeffrey in there, it's a tight end. You can put him
in there. Yeah, the tight end, Alshon Jeffrey. It's a lot of it is about the Eagles and Nick Foles, but even more of it's about the Atlanta Falcons. They're not going to lose this game.
I'll say this. Atlanta opened as a 3-point favorite, and the line has not moved in the last few days. It's Wednesday, of course. Still a few more days before we get into it, but the line has not moved, which I found interesting. Line for most of these games has not moved. Minnesota's actually opened up as 3.5-point favorite. They've gone up to 4 now, which I thought was interesting. As Matt screaming, they're begging you to take the Saints, which I find very, very intriguing.
What about for a three-team teaser? You take the Eagles up to 13. You take the Patriots down to whatever, 4, 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take the Saints up to, say, 13.5, 14.
I'm worried about the spread. I'm worried about the Saints. Literally just by that spread.
I kind of am, but I think that's a lot. I don't think the Saints are going to get blown out. I think Minnesota's going to win this game.
Yeah.
But I think it's more of that, like, you know, touchdown kind of thing.
Continuing on, we have a bunch of coordinator changes as it looks like Green Bay is going to be hiring Mike Pettine as their new defensive coordinator.
That's bold hiring.
What are you considering? Bringing back Mike Fangio? If he left the Bears, but the Bears wrapped him up?
They considered Vic Fangio. They considered Gus Bradley, who's going to stay in
LA. Was a good move by the Chargers.
You like Gus Bradley?
Yes, I do.
I like Gus
that
Bradley,
move.
Too.
I guess for fantasy purposes, me and Corey were talking earlier, keeping Wiz and Hunt keeps the status quo.
I like that. We like status quo. Mm-hmm. We're big fans of status quo here on the Roto Experts.
That's definitely what it is right there. It's a status quo move right there. I can't get excited about that.
All right. You guys talked about it yesterday, but Alex Collins is not guaranteed to be the lead back in Baltimore next year. But again, it's January, so what does this mean?
Look, I mean, and credit to the Orland kid going into last year. He said it's every year it's a different back,
right?
Someone we don't expect. But I think they got a good enough look at this kid, Alex Collins. And I don't see anybody else on that roster that should surpass him as the lead back.
For now.
You know, you want to have, say, if Buck Allen, I don't know Buck Allen's contract, but he comes back, maybe, you know, you throw him in as a little change of pace, pass-catching guy. But I think Collins, you know, had a hell of a season.
And you got Kenneth Dixon there, of course, as well. He's
with a six-game suspension.
Yeah, but a six-game suspension.
I thought
it was 4, and then they added 2
more. Added 2 more.
But he already served it.
No, I don't believe he served it.
I think you could be on IR serving it.
I'm not certain of that. So. I don't think so.
I'm almost positive in the NFL you can.
We're going to have to look that up.
Well, you have to check that out. Yeah. I don't think you can be on IR and serve suspension.
All
right. What else? Danny Woodhead is he's gone, right?
Even I moved on.
Like if you round 25, Matt.
Like Casper, he's just a ghost now.
Yes. What's the rule, Greg? What's the rule, Mr. Sussman?
Okay.
Looking at the NFL rule on suspensions, can a player that's on the injured reserve
still serve his
suspension?
So I don't.
We got to get somebody from the NFL.
Here we go. So, okay. So this is from July of 2017, Baltimore's website, BaltimoreRavens.com. 6 questions about Kenneth Dixon. All right. Okay. Yeah, well, we're reading about how
that part.
Does Dixon have to wait until 2018 to serve his 4-game suspension? No. Serving suspension while injured reserve. No. Serving suspension while on injured reserve counts. He doesn't have to be on the active roster.
Oh, so there you go. So he has a 2-game suspension.
That's a terrible rule, but okay.
Now, with that being said, I think that Dixon's a thing. Because one thing you do know is that they like Dixon. They do like Dixon. They might like Collins more now, but Dixon was a big thing going into this past season. They wanted to get Dixon involved. And Harbaugh's a big fan of Dixon. When they asked him at the NFL Combine, he spoke glowingly of Dixon. But now we got Collins. So it's going to be interesting. I still think it's very risky drafting the Baltimore running back.
Agreed.
It's kind of a thing where you just let those season play out and see what happens.
I agree with that.
Yeah, no, I agree that it's risky. In that mock draft we did, I took Deion Lewis at the turn in the fifth round. And Deion Lewis was when given the opportunity, when he finally got that chance. I mean, he took full advantage, and I don't see why the Patriots wouldn't bring this guy back next year as their lead back. He's young. He on 180 carries or more, he had the highest yards per carry, 4.9. I mean, that's pretty damn impressive. When Burkhead wasn't there, he put up 6 rushing touchdowns. We know he can catch the ball. He wasn't catching the ball with Burkhead in the backfield, but I think this is their back. So he's somebody that I do want to monitor in the offseason. I want to see where...
I don't think Deion Lewis is the battery. I don't think he'll be back in New England, to be honest with you.
If he's not back in New England, I think he's going somewhere. He produced, I believe, Pro Football Focus had him graded as the number 3 running back. This guy did a lot of nice things. It was opportunity. He got it. I mean, Belichick's hand, by the end of the season, was forced to go with that back. He couldn't use the other options. I mean, Gillislee flamed out after week 2. Burkhead, as much as I love him, in his first full chance to have the opportunity, he was consistently injured. I mean, he missed parts of the beginning and the end of the season.
When we talk about status quo, we talk about changes. Kansas City obviously lost Matt Nagy. We talked about that on yesterday's show. To go to the offensive coordinator with the Chicago Bears. Who did they replace him by? Running backs coach Eric Bieniemy is now the coordinator. Eric sleeping with Bieniemy.
Yes.
That's a shout out to back.
Shout out to Chris Berman.
Sorry, I didn't know that one.
Yeah.
It's a good one. I like that one.
It's like probably a situation where you'll...
Andy Reid's back.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing.
Eric Bieniemy.
But that's the problem with Andy Reid. Like, if you fire Andy Reid, which, I mean, look, losing that game is kind of a fireable offense, in my opinion. But if you fire him, who are you replacing him with?
Right. Right. There's no one out there.
Mm-mm.
As the Giants will tell you.
Yeah.
Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator with Kansas City, promoted from running backs coach, now gets an opportunity to be the offensive coordinator. But this is a situation, and I'm going to be honest with you, with Andy Reid as the head coach, are you a little bit nervous now about Kareem Hunt just getting lost in certain games?
No, well, you got to be nervous with that anyway. It's like Reid is not going anywhere, so you worry about Hunt anyway. This high up right here is probably a step down, next man up type, coming there, keep the playbook by the same as possible. I would be more concerned with the change of quarterback coming.
Here's what I like about for Kareem Hunt, that it's a running back. A former running back now taking the reins as the offensive coordinator. How much will Andy Reid let him do the play calling?
Probably not at all.
Yeah. So that's the thing. I mean, scary. That's his rookie thing.
He was the offensive coordinator for a couple of years at the University of Colorado, and that's it.
So he's never called plays in the NFL?
No. He's only been a running backs coach.
He's got to learn.
He's going to have to learn. I mean, he's learning under Andy Reid, which is cool, but it does concern me, the change of quarterback. A lot of changes going on there in Kansas City. Pat Mahomes, we'll see what that does. Tyreek Hill's value as well next year.
Yeah, definitely. Everybody's in a state of flux on this team right now when it comes to looking at them. So when you're drafting them in 2018, you're drafting him mainly on talent unknown because we don't know what the system's going to be. What we do think is they're not going to be able to move the football if these guys are not involved in the offense.
Yeah, no. I mean, you got a first. In my opinion, you have a first, a second, and then a third round, early third round at the latest on their 3 core offensive players. Hunt, Hill, and Kelsey.
Right. Yeah.
So maybe if it's a toss-up between, like, a DJ and a Hunt, maybe you go DJ.
Right.
Because of something. And maybe it's a toss-up between...
Well, you have a new coach in Arizona also, though.
Yeah, that's true, too. So it's a lot of things that we got a long time to get ready for this.
It's going
to
be fun.
And it will be.
It will be fun, of course. DeMarco Murray not expected to play this weekend, which is, I think, a good thing.
Yes. He's basically keeping Milwaukee's... coaching dream alive.
Pretty much so. The Ravens promoted Don Martindale to be their defensive coordinator. That's promoting from within. He thought there was a chance that Chuck Pagano went back to Baltimore. Maybe it'll happen, but now as defensive coordinator, Don Martindale is there.
Can I ask you a question real quick before the break? I was watching some of that press conference with Chucky.
Okay, John Gruden, yep.
And he's like, I can't promise you anything. Look, you got $100 million.
Yeah, you better promise
you
something.
Make some promises.
Yeah. $100 million. When is the Super Bowl parade going to be?
Yeah.
Mark Davis said he'd like to win one before they leave Oakland.
It's going to be tough to do that. No, they got the pieces. They got. They do have the pieces.
You picked them to win it this year.
They got to get the pieces.
They got the pieces.
Roquan Smith would be a nice song.
Roquan Smith would be
him and Matt together.
Roquan is going to Dallas. I think that's another great. Jalen Smith getting ready to take over for Derek Lee.
Right, Sean Lee. All right, when we come back, Matt mentioned the Roto Experts mock draft. We're going to get into that Roto Experts mock draft and let you know how the first round went. We'll discuss a whole bunch of stuff. It's the Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
So as Matt Bodica knows, since Sunday we've been doing this mock draft.
I was terrorized.
That was imperative that we got done. We got it done.
Through, we got six rounds of it done.
Do you think we need to do more?
You can go on without
it. It depends. It depends on what you're looking for. Obviously, in today's fantasy media world, you know, you're going to see stuff like this come out around this time of year. Sure. So. It's a part of it.
I think it's part of it.
Not
also.
My favorite thing to do. I'm not really in draft mode right now.
I'm not in draft mode either. I think people do. When we talk about players, though, I think it is important to talk about them and their value for next year. I think that is important. People are looking to it. People are looking. Huh? Oh yeah.
We can. But you can. Everybody has something with them this time of year.
Of course. Yeah. Right.
I
mean,
like,
yes.
I approach this. I know whatever it was a half point. I approach it as a full point and a 6 point passing. That's what I play in.
Yes, Matt actually refused a draft in the third round. Because
yeah, if there's no third round reversals, I will not be participating in future drafts. I just don't think it's fair. But I would have changed my point of view. There's guys like Carlos Hyde. Carlos Hyde goes to, say, Seattle, goes to the Giants. Those
certainly.
Teams improve their line. And we've seen teams can do that. We've seen it this year. We've seen it with Whitworth in Los Angeles. We've seen how the Vikings line drastically improved. So, I mean, that's going to... And the guys like Barkley. I really considered taking Barkley on the 1-2 turn. So, you know, it's fun. Right now it's fun. But you do want to see where some of these guys are going to shake out.
I agree. There's a lot of question marks, free agency, draft statuses, coaching changes. There's a lot of that goes into it. So, to me, you take these early round mocks that we're doing. Yeah, it's content. It's great. But literally in 1 month, we'll do another one of these things. It'll be all different.
Yeah, how about the Packers situation?
Like, right,
the
absolutely.
Running back situation there.
The problem with that one, I think that's a really good one to look at. We're going to do that in a second. But the problem with that is we're not going to have clarity on that for months.
Well, see, here's one thing. If Randall Cobb has one year left. I'm not sure. I believe he has
okay.
one year left. But I don't know. If he is a free agent and say he didn't.
He's not a free agent.
Because I was thinking of the possibility of, say, maybe Montgomery taking that role.
Right.
And giving it to Jamal Williams, say Aaron Jones, to split that up.
He's not a free agent.
Okay.
So okay.
There goes that.
All right. So let's start at the top here. The number one overall pick in this mock draft was Todd Gurley. Would you have done that?
I still would have went left Bell.
Okay. He's number
two. Recency bias, though, would point to Gurley. Gurley's, listen, I'm not, you're splitting hairs when you look at these two dudes, but I still got left Bell as the best player. You know, when it comes to his positioning for fantasy.
Okay. So
I had Lev Bell on my board 1-1 last year.
Yep.
And like Corey said, we don't know what happens if the Steelers win the Super Bowl.
Or the World Series.
Or the World Series. But look, I mean, Gurley was fantastic, phenomenal. He won people a lot of championships. But I still think Lev Bell is the best player in football.
Okay. Lev Bell is the best player in football. So you would also take Lev Bell 1-1 again.
It's really close. I'm not going to lie. I mean, maybe... I'll say this. I would do Lev Bell, Gurley, like I talked about. I would diversify.
You diversify there. So you have 1-1A, basically. Yeah, I think that's fair, too. I think I'm in the same boat with you guys. We saw enough out of passing game to make Todd Gurley certainly in the conversation of 1-1. I probably lean Lev Bell, but It's a 1-1A type situation. My opinion could change tomorrow on this. That's 1 and 1A. The person that we believe, that you believe should have been 1-1 in 2017 was Antonio Brown. You said we kind of slept on this. We messed up. And it should have been Antonio Brown. You took him at 3 overall. I was listening to the Fantasy Frenzy yesterday, and Jake called you out a little bit on this. Like, we don't know if Ben will be back. There are some question marks. He would not have taken Antonio Brown at 3. You did.
Yeah, obviously, I'm drafting as if now. Ben is there now. We don't know what the situation is going to be for next season. Let's say Ben Roethlisberger is there. Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell are both still top 3 fantasy draft picks. Antonio Brown, the best wide receiver in fantasy. Probably the best wide receiver in the NFL when it comes to just pure skills if you take out the athletic ability. So, yeah, I'm going to go with AB. What you going to get? Another 125 catches. As long as he plays 16 games, you know you're going to get in the point perception. You're going to get over 20 points a week. It's just too good of a base at wide receiver. The thing about it, where people are going to worry about Antonio Brown with those big runs on running backs in the first round and second round, when you come back in the second round, your running back pool may be shallow, so I wanted to see what was going to be there.
Okay, fair enough. Number 4 pick here in that first round was Ezekiel Elliott. No suspension hanging over him as we enter 2018. He goes 4 over Kareem Hunt and David Johnson. He's a half-point PPR. I know you're mainly a PPR player, Matt, where he's priced Ezekiel 4.
I don't have a problem with it. Okay. I would have went David Johnson.
Okay.
I still think, I don't care who's the coach next year, if the person they bring in doesn't utilize David Johnson to his fullest, then
why take the job?
You know what I'm saying?
Why take the job? But still, what we saw with DJ is, Arians was telling you, I give him the ball 40 times. He had games where he touched the ball 40 times. You really see that. Arians, whenever they asked about his workload, his usage, Arians was like, I'm just going to keep pounding him.
Right, he's 22 years
old. Somebody new might be like, okay, we'll pull back a little bit. That's the only thing.
When you say that, and like the thing with Cam or I totally put the earmuffs on. I didn't believe it.
Right.
Here's the thing. The guy who's the coach next year, his first year, whatever, in Arizona.
Yep.
He needs to win games.
Sure.
David Johnson is getting that ball. Who else do they have on that team?
Larry Fitzgerald,
if he comes back. Mm-hmm. So David Johnson will be, in my estimation, a guy like, he'll get the reps like Gurley got this year, Bell gets, and all that. So he should be there. But if you want to go Elliott, I don't have a problem with it, but you know I'm still going to stay. David Johnson was the number one overall pick consensus wise. He was 1-1 last year, so if I can get him at 4 or anything after that, yeah, I'm in.
Okay.
Zeke almost ran for 1,000 yards, which is crazy. Missing 6 games, mm-hmm. and then he had the game against the Broncos where he ran for 2 yards. So essentially, he missed 7 games.
I mean, he played against the Broncos.
He did, but he ran for 2 yards.
He got shut down. It's fair. He got shut down.
Yeah, but still. Still, he almost ran for 1,000 yards.
But then if you
yards.
Take away one of, like, Kareem Hunt's games, he could have hit 1,500.
Correct.
Yards.
Yeah.
Correct.
But, look, I think Zeke is. Look, when I'm looking at this board, I have no problem with saying. So when you go with the top 6 players, to me, number 7, without a doubt, shout out to the man from the Palatial Estates, George Kurtz. DeAndre Hopkins cannot go past 7.
So let me.
You probably go harder.
Before we get to DeAndre Hopkins here, I do find it interesting. Zeke had 1,000 yards without playing all those. Basically, had 1,000 yards with missing all those games. The offense, does it change at all next year for the Cowboys?
No reason for the offense to change.
Okay.
No reason for the offense to change. I mean, this is. He played 16 games, he could run for 2,000 yards.
But he is someone that builds up and builds up as the season goes along.
Yeah. He still run for 2,000 yards.
All right.
Yeah, no, I don't think Cowboys have to do is they got to change this wide receiver core.
Would you draft David Johnson over Ezekiel Elliott?
It's one of those things with diversification.
1-1A, okay.
Yeah.
Would you draft Kareem Hunt over David Johnson and or Ezekiel Elliott?
Probably not. Okay. I probably would go David Johnson, and then Hunt would be the next guy.
Jake Seeley took Kareem Hunt immediately following Ezekiel Elliott. I then followed that with David Johnson. So that meant 5 running backs go in the first 6 picks here, which I think that's not going to change.
I agree with Kurtz going DeAndre Hopkins over Alvin Kamara, which we went next to Scott.
Correct.
After that, I think DeAndre Hopkins. Everybody's going to go with this running backs. DeAndre Hopkins, Antonio Brown. You know what they're going to do,
right?
So I think that gives you a leg up there. You can get the running backs. You see running backs second round. Even into the third round, you're seeing good running backs.
Absolutely. When you get to continue on, obviously. So DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver 2 off the board. That's not a surprise. See him go at 7, not a surprise. Good job by George Kurtz. I consider taking DeAndre Hopkins over David Johnson, in all honesty. I actually probably would take him over Kareem Hunt, too. I think Andy Reid kind of scares me a little bit.
You can make the argument.
But I think I'd probably do it over Kareem Hunt. So I would have Hopkins 6 in my overall rankings.
Those should be the top 7 players off the
board. I agree. Whatever order you want to do it in, whatever. But I agree, those are the top 7 players off the board. Then it gets interesting. Then you get to number 8, and I think that's the first spot where you're like, huh, what do I do? There goes Alvin Kamara. So he goes 8 to the King. So my immediate reaction to that was, right, so Kamara goes 8. Where does Mark Ingram end up? That was my first initial reaction.
You know why he deserves to go 8? And you can make the argument why he shouldn't be a first rounder as well. But why he goes 8? Because he could be the number one points getter in fantasy next year.
Okay.
If he's given the role, if the role is expanded and stuff like that, we see the talent this guy has. He can obviously catch the ball. He can run. So I think Scott was right to take him at 8 for the possibility with the 8th overall pick, you can have the number one player.
Yeah, I don't have no problem with Kamara.
No problem with Kamara,
especially in the point per reception. And the standard may be something
half
different.
Point. Half point.
Saying, you know, well, you get extra for a catch.
You do.
You get a bonus for a catch.
So, but again, my initial reaction, though, wasn't that it was a bad pick, because it's not, but it was, okay, if Kamara goes 8, where does Mark Ingram go? Mark Ingram went at number 24, the last pick of the second round. That seems extreme to me.
I think that's because people have a feeling Ingram's going to get traded. We don't know where he's going to end up. I agree with you. I couldn't take both these guys in the first round. One has to be the first rounder. The other guy has to fall a bit. And I think we've seen the dynamic of what Kamara could do.
There's a couple names here that I'm shocked were picked before Mark Ingram. Some running backs, we're going to get to them in a couple minutes. Dalvin Cook before Mark Ingram. And you talked about Dr. A about that.
Mm-hmm.
Saquon Barkley, we don't even know what team he's on, before Mark Ingram.
Well,
Kenyon Drake before Mark Ingram.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
Well, Kenyon Drake, looking at Kenyon Drake, Kenyon Drake got a full job. Mark Ingram is a timeshare.
Kenyon Drake does not have a full job. Damian Williams still is there.
I think Kenyon Drake got a full
Adam
job.
Adam Gase will not go away from this guy.
I would tell people, I'm a big Mark Ingram guy. He's one of the guys I was in on this year. I was taking... Look at what Ingram has done the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. If you're not a Mark Ingram believer, mm-hmm. so wherever he ends up, and even if it's back with the Saints, if he's back with the Saints, he's probably going to go in that range, and it's not as enticing because I think Kamara is going to get more.
But
if he gets traded,
I don't see him getting traded. I think they want that two. I think they want that two back thing. They've always had multiple backs.
No, always. If he gets somebody else, will come in. But
yeah, I don't see that move happening, personally. All right, we're halfway through the first round, or more than halfway. We'll do the second half of the first round when we come back here on Roto Experts.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
With you now on the Roto Experts. We're going over our fantasy mock draft run by Jake Seeley and pushed by Jake Seeley quite hard. We got it done and it's over. So we got through the first 8 picks here. Number 9 was Melvin Gordon to Frankie Stanfill, which makes sense. I like Melvin Gordon. I believe he's a first round pick. No issue with that pick in the first round. So I think it's good. I'm going to probably tweet this out so everyone can follow along. We got Melvin Gordon there in the first round.
Love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm on board.
All right. Yeah, it was. Next, Leonard Fournette goes. Now, Leonard Fournette's an interesting one, Matt, because he's got foot injuries, he's got ankle injuries, he's got leg injuries, and yet here he is at number 10 overall. Any problem?
Just a little concerned about this. You know, it seems like he's going to be banged up every year. You're going to be going through this. Hopefully that's not the case.
Bernie Sanders? No, it wasn't. I thought it was.
I mean, I want to take Odell Beckham here.
I agree.
Dr. A did damper the outlook for Odell Beckham the other day.
What did Doc say about Odell?
We got to get Don Burns, grab that one, too, for the frenzy.
Yeah, basically, like, a 50-50 chance of him, you know, being
Odell
and stuff.
Why is that?
I guess it's that bad, the injury.
Well, let's hope that's not the case.
You know, that talent is just, you know, he's just too good. He really is. He's one of those, you know, transcendent players.
Right. So you would have taken Odell over Fournette, you're saying?
Yeah, in that spot I would have went.
Would you have taken Odell over Fournette?
More than likely, yeah. This right here was a, what'd you call it? Position scarcity pick.
Especially at that spot where I could have gotten a running back in round two.
Right.
On the wraparound.
Okay.
Somebody I would have been.
So Leonard Fournette goes, Odell goes, and then you, sir, are up, Matt Modica. You're up at this turn. You had two picks. And what was going through your head at these two picks?
Pretty much, I had a game plan of not taking a running back at all.
Okay. How come?
I mean, Michael Thomas, I knew was going to be one of my picks. I think he's just proven now that I think after, you know, Brown, Hopkins, Julio, and you got Beckham. Julio, to me, he's just too damn good. Even when he has a down year, he's what? He's one of the top three in yards. It's there. If you add, you know, more touchdowns to his total, I just can't. Every metric he routes per run, he's number one every year consistently. He's just too good. I couldn't let him go out of the first round. I paired him with Michael Thomas. I felt a hell of a lot better with
that's him. Julio's best on the back end because you get somebody with him quick that's just as good as that's just as productive as he is.
You have said he's not a first round pick. Matt made sure that he went in the first round by taking him at 12 and Michael Thomas at 13.
I would take him at 2-1.
You're comfortable here because you're off of Julio.
No, let me ask you a question. What Corey's? Would you have taken Michael if you were going to go wide receiver? Say you were going double wide receiver. Would you have gone Michael Thomas or would you have gone, let's say, Keenan Allen?
I think with Michael Thomas.
I mean, Devontae Adams was even a consideration here. When you got Aaron Rodgers throwing you the ball,
those are the picks at the back end, right there. This is how the back end is going to look: Odell, Julio, and Michael Thomas.
Odell, Julio, Michael Thomas are all the next guys. We all agree Julio might have gone a little bit earlier. Michael Thomas and Julio Jones are the next two. And you like pairing them up. You almost like Julio Jones being either the wide receiver 1A for your team or being, you know, not your first overall pick.
Yeah, I don't want to. If you get taking Julio in that middle of the first, it's so risky because you don't know what you're going to come back with.
Okay.
If you get that, say you come back. Say you start with Julio and Shady. That's a recipe for disaster.
I mean, and I'm going to take Odell over Julio this year.
Okay, so you're
I'm going to do that. I'm sprinkle it, but
I'm interested to see if you take Michael Thomas over Julio also.
That's a possibility.
Right.
I really, assuming that Breeze is back and it's pretty much Peyton comes back. Mm-hmm. They don't blow it up, which I don't see why they would.
Sure.
When you got this team that's that good. So yeah, I just don't think I don't see how Michael Thomas at worst isn't the number five wide receiver.
And that's at worst. To me, he's number four. I would have him above Julio. So
you
for
know,
me,
I think that's
four.
Fair.
Okay.
I think that's fair.
After Michael Thomas, we begin the second round here. Tony Sincotta matched up Odell Beckham with Devontae Freeman as we began a little run on running backs. I have no problem with a Freeman pick here. I might have gone wide receiver, but if you go on running back, Freeman is probably the next guy, Matt.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. It's the next pick. Because of the injury that he's coming back. When you hear microfracture,
it's the next few picks that actually bother me.
I might have went Barkley next.
I probably would have went wide receiver. Dalvin Cook, Saquon Barkley go back to back. Again, we don't know the situation of Barkley. It's a week after football season ended mock draft. But you have Dalvin Cook coming off a major, major knee injury. He goes at 2-3 to Meany, and Saquon Barkley goes at 2-4 to Frank Stanfield, matches him up with Melvin Gordon. Both of these guys had running backs in the first round. Both grab a second bell cow in a second.
It's a situation where with Cook, we want to see. I don't mind Cook. I love Cook. We want to see more about the injury. We want to know more going into training camp, what Cook's status and his situation is going to be as he tries to bounce back. And we'll hear more about Dalvin Cook coming up on the frenzy. The Saquon Barkley thing, to me, I'm still like, okay, I understand you pick him. You're more than likely going to get him to be a bell cow. But the Cleveland Browns with those two picks in the top four, it's scary. It's scary.
I think they're taking him in four. But see,
it's scary because what if he doesn't score touchdowns?
What Frank Stanfield did by going running back, I absolutely love the rest of his team. I mean, Tyreek Hill in the third is my favorite pick in this draft. But he got Fitzgerald. You know, we're assuming he's coming back. Catches 100 receptions every year. And then he got Robbie Anderson and finishes it off with Greg Olsen.
That is how Frankie's team turned out. It worked out okay for him. I do have the question marks with Saquon Barkley. And the other side, like Meany's team, like I like the Carlos Hyde pick later on, but if you want to go down his team, I think his team came out terribly. Like, absolutely terrible.
I really thought about taking Hyde at that 3-4 turn, and probably most likely in most cases would have done it, but...
This team's awful.
I'm not a big fan of this team.
So wide receiver one's Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah, it's a tight end. But you give him a pass.
His wide receiver two is Cooper Kupp.
You have to give him a pass because it's very early.
It's hockey season in Canada.
Yeah, it's hockey season. His brain is frozen.
Fine. Scott Engel has an interesting pick as well. So we have the first top five wide receivers. We'll agree on that. We'll agree the top five wide receivers are the top five. There's no debate at this table about that. Number six, Scott Engel chose Adam Thielen.
This is dangerous right here because we don't know who to... First of all, you got dudes that are more talented down the board.
Correct.
But let's... Okay, so forget about that, though. You don't know who the quarterback's going to be for this team.
Correct.
If Case Keenum and Thielen had that thing rolling, what if it's Sam Bradford, which I doubt?
What if it's Teddy Bridgewater?
What if it's Teddy Bridgewater, which is likely going to happen? What if it becomes Stephon Diggs again? What if it goes to somebody else? Or maybe they switch it around. They're going to have a new... They could lose their head coach, right?
I don't know.
They could lose their offensive coordinator, too. So this right here is risky. I want pieces in place before I know what's going on with the Vikings in 2018.
I would have went Devontae Adams over Thielen. I mean, you could even make the case Keenan Allen over Thielen, but... And Tyreek Hill, to me, is a second rounder. He would have went somewhere in here.
He
would have been a consideration for me.
I'm shocked that Adam Thielen went in this spot. Shocked.
And I'm not trying to hate on Thielen. I love Thielen. Him a lot.
He's not the sixth best receiver in the NFL.
No, uh-uh.
That's just a fact. George Kurtz, out there, grabs LeSean McCoy. Fine. You know, he kind of is what he is at this point. I then grab the seventh wide receiver off the board. That's Keenan Allen. My guy, you know.
Yeah, I think in that spot, I have no problems with it. I would have went Devontae Adams.
Well, that worked out okay then.
You really did for you. I like yours a lot too.
Right. Well, I have all the players you play. I went Keenan Allen. I considered Devontae Adams. I considered A.J. Green. And I considered Mike Evans. A.J. Green follows me immediately with Jake Seeley. A.J. Green, Corey, now going in the middle of the second round. I know you're an A.J. Green guy. You argued that he should be the third wide receiver in 2017. What do you think about A.J. Green in 2018?
It's fine with A.J. Green right here. Obviously, he goes ahead of Thielen, but I can see you drafting Keenan Allen ahead of him. A.J. Green should be around this area right here. I have no problem with that.
Jay Martinez shakes it up and goes with Gronk in the second round. We talked a lot about this on the BFFs yesterday, that Gronk, in, I believe, half-point PBR, he would have finished as wide receiver 10 or 11, and ultimately, this is kind of where he should go. I know you guys wouldn't do it, but as long as he's healthy...
I wouldn't do it, but I could make the argument that he should go on the 1-2 turn.
Right.
But it's something I'm not going to do. I'd rather get like where I got Kelsey will never last that long, I don't think, heading into this year. I don't see how that happens. But
you would never do this either.
Do that. Yeah, I don't do that tight end.
Well, it would have made sense in 2017.
No, it would have made sense, but you can win without doing that.
Sure.
Yeah, so I'm not tripping off of that.
T.Y. Hilton went to you, Corey, next. You chose T.Y. Hilton over Mike Evans, over Devontae Adams here.
Yeah.
And Tyreek Hill as well.
Yeah, I should have picked Devontae Adams. I missed on that one. I would have picked Devontae Adams knowing that... if I would have realized he was there, we just kind of put together on the whim, and I'm doing a whole bunch of other stuff. But I went T.Y. Hilton because I'm of the assumption that Andrew Luck is going to be back and healthy, especially if we see Josh McDaniels take this job. Josh McDaniels is no fool. He knows that, or anybody know that, in order to be successful in Indianapolis, you're going to have to do it with Andrew Luck. So if we get a clean bill of health, at least knowing that we got a good chance for Andrew Luck to be there, T.Y. Hilton will be a top five fantasy receiver without a shadow of a doubt.
And you said that last year, saying it again, it's all about Andrew Luck here for T.Y. Hilton and the Indianapolis Colts. Two more picks in the second round. That were Kenyon Drake and Mark Ingram. I'm shocked Mark Ingram lasted this long. Run a wide receiver. I'm stunned. How are you not in an amazing year?
Yeah, but...
And Alvin Kamara in the middle of the first round.
It's season she in the backfield with somebody. They're not going to put up numbers like that every year, both of them.
I think I would have taken Ingram over Drake if I had to do that.
Kenyon Drake.
I know Drake right now has the backfield to himself. But if Damian Williams is healthy, is he going to be back in the pass-catching role?
He 100% he will be.
Yeah, but the thing about it is Kenyon Drake's a better football player than Damon Williams. Alvin Kamara is a better football player than Mark Ingram.
Sure. Should Mark Ingram, should these guys have gone over an injured Dalvin Cook?
Right now, probably so.
Yeah.
Right now, probably so. Dalvin Cook is tremendous talent, but that injury, like we'll say, we'll hear more about that.
A steal could be with Corey getting Jordan Howard in the third. I mean, with the new offensive coordinator, they get some receivers.
We'll talk more about the fantasy mock draft coming up most likely tomorrow on the programs around 3 and 4. We'll do that then. Well, we come back a little bit more baseball here with Mr. Matt Modica coming up at 9 a.m. We'll get back into the basketball as well. Stick around. It's Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Sports Radio Network. The baseball story I wanted to ask you about, Matt, and that was closers. I don't know if you've done a closer ranking yet of any sort, but Brad Brock came to my mind because of how good he was in the first half last year, and in reality, how good he was in the first half in 2016. No Zach Britton for what Buck Showalter expects, at least until the All-Star break, as he has the bad Achilles tear as he was training out there in California. So Brad Brock, are you high on him going into 2018?
No, I had him last year, and he was very good in that first half. He was pretty bad in that second half.
He's doing long-distance running, though, to improve that.
But, I mean, as long as he stays on the Orioles, they're going to run him out there to get the saves and improve his trade value. So he's a guy you're not going to have to pay a high price for right now. After the top three, it really gets risky. That's why in my current draft, I paid a third-round price for Kenley Jansen.
You sure did.
To me, he is the number one guy. I mean, you can put Kimmel right behind him, and I still believe in Chapman. He bounced back. He had that rough whatever month or so. But after that, I mean, the guy like Felipe Rivera would be my target, you know. I know Corey Knubel had a very good year, but you got to be, you know, he has no track record neither.
How often do you think you're going to be doing that in all your drafts? Is that going to be a thing for you this year?
No. Okay. I'm going to want to get starting pitching because that's pretty bad, too. I mean, at least not, I don't want to say, maybe I don't want to use the word bad, but it's where it's you're taking shots on upside and guys bouncing back. There just isn't pitchers that are putting up the numbers that they did in the past. It's not 2014 anymore.
No, it's not 2014 anymore. Corey, that was a really good question about taking a closer like that in the third round with Kenley Jansen. A guy like Brad Brock, like to me, like he's the guy that will be on my team because he's a closer that nobody's going to want because Zach Britton's coming back eventually. But he's awesome every first half. I only need him for the first half. Closing and saves are about quantity.
Yeah, it's the closing thing, the save thing is we're going to spend the next 7 months talking about it. You know what I'm saying? Trying to pick up every Tom, Dick, and Harry that's going to get a shot to get a couple of innings, throw a couple of balls in the ninth inning. So it's a pain in the butt. That's why I'm kind of like, you know what, just let me get a couple dudes that I know are going to have the gig the whole season, lock them in, and just go about my business.
In a trading league, I will wait on saves. In a league where there's no trading, I'm going to try and acquire one of these top guys. Look, if Chapman's going in like that fifth round, or you can get... maybe he's gone in the sixth, but I don't think that's a thing really anymore. But fifth or sixth round, I can get an Aroldis Chapman. I'm going to get paid that price every time.
So that's what you're going to take every time. Is that like a quarterback? Is that like quarterbacks in NFL fantasy drafts?
I think so. And like, the 6 point and the no trading makes it different.
Right.
As opposed to if you're in a 10 or a 12 team where you can, trade and stuff like that. If it's only 4 points. stuff. I think that's a good correlation.
One more name I wanted to bring up today when it came to baseball. It's your guy, Nelson Cruz. You've brought up a lot here on the show. You're taking him where kind of he's always been taken. And he changed agents. He's going to look to get another contract. He's going to be like 37, 38 years old. You're going back to the well in 2018.
Look, this guy has given you a floor pretty much of around 280 batting average. And he hits 40 home runs every year. Last year, he fell one shy. I mean, it would have been his fourth consecutive season. Like I said, the average is there. He put, you know, his last 4 years, he's averaging 42 homers, 106 RBIs with a 292 batting average. Until it doesn't happen, and you're getting him in the middle of the fourth round or early fourth round, I'll take that every time.
But isn't the thought process, Corey, when it comes to these older guys, that some boy they're just going to fall off? With Nelson Cruz, Matt doesn't have that thought.
He's a baseball player, too. It's different.
He out-earns Aaron Judge this year.
Thank Sorry?
He out-earns Aaron Judge this year.
Really?
Put it in the bank.
Okay, fair enough. Take a break. We'll come back. We'll hit some of the headlines from yesterday. Get back into the NBA as well. Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.